Very good afternoon, everybody. It's 5:30, so we'll go ahead and get started with our meeting tonight. I want to welcome all of you to our City Council meeting this evening. Thank you all so much for being here, all of our guests, staff, council. Thank you all so much for being here tonight. Opening the meeting at 5:31 p.m. Our first item on the agenda is our invocation. If you would, please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to serve the wonderful city of Woodway. Thank you, Father, that you are above all things. You are above the city, the nation, and the world. And Lord, we just look to you for our guidance and our source of wisdom. Thank you, Father, for providing us with the wonderful residents that make up our city. Thank you, Father, for the wonderful staff who allow our city to run so efficiently. And Lord, we just ask that as we go through our agenda this evening, Father, that that you would be honored by our decisions. Father, that you would give us the knowledge to make decisions that honor you and decisions that are best for our community. We thank you, Father, for just this amazing privilege that you've given us, and we ask, Lord, that you would be with us tonight. Thank you, God, so much for your love and for blessing us. We bless you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
If you're able, please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance at this time.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Item number three is our public comment section. The City Council would like to invite citizens and guests to address the Council on any matter, including items that are on the agenda. Except for public hearings, those will have their own specific hearing time when that public hearing starts. We ask that you please limit your comments to 3 minutes per resolution R87-11. There's a timer up here on the screen behind us for you to keep track of your time. The Council is not permitted to take any action or discuss any item that's not listed on the agenda. When you're called to speak, we ask that you please state your name and address. And if you're speaking on a specific agenda item, please state the item before beginning your comments. Thank you so much for your understanding and cooperation. The podium is now open for anybody who'd like to address Council. Yes, sir. Good evening.
Budget time. This year's budget is using the minimum rate, which, while detailed in the budget, is confusing to me. Why would I select that rate when the rate proposed is less than the voter approved rate? Because as I read the definition, the de minimis rate, and I've talked to Brenda, we've talked. The de minimis rate is established for small cities when they've reached the voter approved rate and need up to $500,000 more. We're not there. We're nowhere close. I don't understand why we're using it. I'm gonna trust Brenda. I'm gonna trust you guys who know it and understand it, or ask questions that I can't ask at this point. This is the first time Woodway has selected this method of computation for taxes. And I just want to make sure that you guys, Brenda knows why, and I know why. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Anybody else? All right, there being none, I will close the public comment time at 5:35. Thank you very much for your comments. We appreciate it. Item number four is presentation of Yard of the Month for August. And I'm very happy to award this month's Yard of the Month to Lawrence and Vivian Montgomery of 1101 Knotty Oaks Drive. Beautiful yard. I know it's a little dark to see, but I pass by this house quite frequently and it does have a beautiful yard. So thank you for keeping Woodway beautiful. We'd love to get you up here and take a picture with you, and we've got a nice sign to put in your yard. It's not a for sale sign, I promise. I promise. Can we give it up for the Montgomery? says this: the Yardley Month Award of August 2026, presented to Lawrence and Vivian Montgomery, 1101 Nine Oaks Drive. Thank you for your outstanding contribution to help make the city of Woodway beautiful. Congrats.
Thanks, guys.
Another time for the Montgomerys. Oh, geez, it's already there. Okay, great. Very great. Thank you so much. All right. Moving on to item number five is our introduction of the new Carlene Bright Arboretum staff member. Mr. Manager, who's doing the honors on this one? ACM?
Do you have the same sheet I have, Jenna?
I do.
Okay.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. The Carlene Bright Arboretum is excited to welcome Tom Morton as the new Tourism and Community Program Coordinator. As you all probably remember, as posting for this position, Tom is a Woodway resident who previously served the Temple and Waco communities in the nonprofit sector. He holds a bachelor's degree in Christianity from Houston Christian University and a master of divinity from Baylor University with a focus on youth and family ministry. Together with his wife and Woodway native Meredith, sitting in the back, they have one son, Shepherd, also sitting in the back, and are expecting their second son, Finnegan, any day. So, we wanted to introduce Tom to you all today and hear a few words from him. As the Tourism and Community Program Coordinator, Tom will be helping the Carlene Bright Arboretum and Discover Woodway solicit and welcome more visitors to Woodway, whether that be at one of our monthly farmers markets, a summer concert, a city event, or booking a room at one of our hotels. He has already hit the ground running by hosting the July Farmers Market, the Arboretum Explorers Camp last week, and the Back to School Bash concert on Friday night. So we're excited he's here and welcome him to say a few words.
Awesome, awesome. Sweet. It's a pleasure to be here in front of you guys. I'm originally from Southeast Texas and was very transient until I got to Waco and my wife, who locked us down here. Mm-hmm. So this has been the newest home I've had. I've been so blessed to live here and now get the chance to serve this place as well. So I'm excited to join in and be a resident and someone who's for the people. So thank y'all.
Hey, Tom, before you sit down, why don't you come around so we can shake your hand?
Awesome.
You can start down there. We're so happy to have you.
Welcome, Tom. Welcome again.
So glad you're here. Welcome. Welcome.
In Southeast Texas.
It's an hour and a half, so I know Jasper. Yeah.
We know you, Tom. Welcome. Well, I don't want to be the only one. I can see it. Right before. Good to see you again, Tom.
Breath is blowing him off.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's good.
Brenda, you know we're on the record now, right?
I'm not on camera, though.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Well, welcome, Tom. Welcome to your family. Congratulations to your family. Congratulations on baby number two. And really happy to have you in our community. So thanks for saying yes to Woodway. Happy to have you.
Thanks for saying yes to me.
Great. Awesome, awesome. Very, very good. That's fun. All right. Item number six is our presentation of the Certified Municipal Court Clerk plaque on behalf of Texas Court Clerks Association. Say that 10 times really, really fast. It's tricky. Yes. Well, welcome.
That's all right.
There you go.
Okay. Well, good evening. My name is Malia Buono. I am the court administrator for the city of Woodway. With us tonight is Judge Ron Goble. And I'm here tonight on behalf of the Texas Court Clerks Association, which I currently serve on board and on the association's education committee, which oversees continuing education for court clerks.
How's it going, Abby?
That's wonderful.
Judge, you're in there?
You're off.
Abby, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Thank you. A lot of celebrating this evening.
It's good.
I like that. Awesome. All right, well, we're moving on to item number 7. This is the quarterly presentation from our finance department. Over to you, Ms. Brenda.
Just a second, Brenda. We'll figure out what's going on.
All right. Oh, yeah. There he goes. Perfect. All right. Restart. Ready? Thank you, Mayor and Council. Yes, I'm here tonight to present the quarterly financial report for the 9 months ended June 30th, 2026. Per usual, I will look at comparative numbers as well as budget to actual numbers, and then we'll wrap up with the investment report. So this first slide will show general fund revenues. As far as property taxes are concerned, same update as last time. This year there was a larger percentage of the tax rate allocated to the general fund, so that's where you can see the $857,000 increase. Sales tax, we did see an increase there of about $165,000 or roughly 5%. We've just seen an increase in, Keith? Okay. We've seen an increase in local taxpayers as well as remote taxpayers. Franchise fees are pretty consistent. We get two big payments a year. One's Atmos that we get in February, and then the other one is Encore that we'll get later this summer. And then other revenue shows a slight decrease of a 14% decrease of $125,000, which is attributed to carving out that sanitation fund transfer. And then also we've seen decreases in court fees, interest income, but offset by family center revenues. We've seen an increase in mixed beverage tax, so more people are drinking in the city limits. We've also seen increases in permit revenue and then insurance proceeds. So total dollar figures at fiscal year 26 was $11.08 million. Which is a $920,000 increase to where we were at 6/30/25, where we were at $10.16 million. And this is how we compare budget to actual. Property taxes at 100%, we expect that. They were due in February. Sales tax, we're 3/4 of the way into the fiscal year, so 76 is where we want to be. Franchise fees at 46. This time last year, we were at 42, so it's up compared to last year. And then other revenue is at 80%. Last year we're at 71. So general fund revenue budget to actual is at 71% at 6/30/26, which is the same percentage we were at last year. Next are expenditures. For general government, we did see an increase of about $136,000, which is consistent with an increase in the budget, but also anticipated software updates with the social media archiving and then the software for agenda management. But we also had some retirements that happened during the year and they were paid out of the general government. Public safety is up $135,000. It's primarily due to increase in staffing, as well as we did have a few good tenured officers leave and they had vacation payouts. So that's an increase there compared to last year. But as of today, or next week, we have only one position open in PD for an officer. Dispatch is fully staffed at this point. Community services, we did see an increase of about $101,000 in comparing this year to last year, primarily attributed to an increase in streets, repair and maintenance costs, as well as property and liability insurance. And the community programs did have a $34,000 increase, which is consistent with their increase in budget. So total expenses at 6/30/26 was $9.04 million compared to last year, $8.56 million. General fund expenditures were 3/4 in, so these should all be right around 75%, and they're all tracking. Yes, sir. Go ahead. Sure. I'm trying here, guys. Yes, that is on there. Give a presentation sitting down. Sound better? Not as much feedback? All right, third time's a charm. Let's do it. I won't start over. We'll continue where we were. Okay. As discussed, we're 3/4 into the fiscal year, so I should expect all these to be around 75%. We're operating at that or at under. This time last year, we're at 71%, so if you average all those out, we are also at 71% at 6/30/26. Is that good? Next is water, utility fund revenues. Water charges, revenue associated with water is down $203,000 in comparison to last year. This is attributed to a consumption decrease to the tune to 40 million gallons compared to last year. At 6/30/26, we're at 462 million gallons. At 6/30/25, we're at 502. But if you look at 24 and 23 and 22, they were all at that 418 to 448 million gallon mark. So as our water friend said, it ebbs and flows and it fluctuates from year to year depending on truly how much rain we got, how hot it is. So we've just seen an increase in the amount of water used throughout the city on both the residential and the commercial side. Sewer charges are comparable to prior year, and then other income is up due to an increase in insurance claims. On the utility fund expense side, although the revenue is coming in less, the expenses are actually coming in more. We've had some repair and maintenance for the different wells and different capital projects where we've seen an increase in the amount of water purchased from the city of Waco. But last I talked to Mitch, all the wells are up. So we're getting into that season where we are using the most water. And the good thing is all our wells are currently operating. Sewer service, we did see an increase there. As mentioned, our cost for WMR's participation has increased. And then we did have a few terminations that had vacation payouts. And then customer service is actually down $42,000. And this is due to a change in credit card processors and a push for customer service for everyone to go on bank draft where there's no fees incurred by the city. So for comparative numbers, at 6/30/26, our bank service charges were about $54,000. This time last year, we were at $119,000. So we've seen a big drop. And this is the budget to actual income. Varies 63 to 72% for water and sewer, but again, we're getting into the busy summertime where we do sell the most water, so I expect those numbers to increase in the next couple months. And then operationally, they're all operating within their budget of 75% or below at this point in the fiscal year. And then due to that decrease in consumption and increase in expense, the water fund is currently operating at a deficit to about $395,000. We do have an item on the agenda later to talk about water rate, wastewater increases. So we know it's a problem. We're trying to fix it, and we're monitoring it closely. Sanitation fund, on the other hand, we have seen an increase in revenues. We anticipated this with the closure of the landfill. And then the expenses are lower, but it's catching up as we're incurring more each month. I think this presentation reflects 6 months of the old landfill and 3 months of the new landfill. So it should catch up and be closer by the time I come and present at the next meeting. Tourism revenues are consistent from last year to this year, right around 562 to 63,000. And then expenditures are down, but that correlates with the decrease in advertising and promotion budget, as well as no longer having to pay principal and interest payments for those bonds that were paid off last year. And then looking at budget to actual, revenues are at 65%, which is up compared to last year. We're at 57%, and then expenses are 11%, consistent to where we were last year at 11%. But as a reminder, that big true-up will happen by 9:30, where we go ahead and fund the Arboretum. So it looks funny right now, but we'll be fixed by the time I come back in October. And then the Carling Bright Arboretum fund comparison, revenues are up $14,000 or 15%. Per discussions with Lindsay, we are currently have 117 rentals in comparison to 88 we had last year. That trend continues to increase now that we have two venue spaces open, new affordable rates, and a new time frame options available. And then expenditures are up, which correlates with the increase in their budget. And then that shows the budget to actual. Carling Bright's operating a bit over, but the pavilion's under, so the average is right around 75, 76%. I'm not concerned there. And then this is our investment report. It shows the $10.58 million we have invested at 6/30. We did have a CD mature within the year, or within the last quarter, and we did go ahead and renew that. But interest rates have dropped since the last time this went up for renewal in 2025. And same thing with our CDRS program. We did have two maturities during this quarter that we reinvested. But the Fed has been meeting. They have not lowered rates, but we'll see what happens when they meet again next month. And I believe that's it. Any questions, comments, concerns about the 6/30 financial performance report?
Well, I don't know if this is the right time to ask it. Maybe
sure.
Later, but, when you're looking at expenses on the water, if there's a break in a line on the city side,
the amount of gallons wasted,
well,
or the cost to repair that.
A lot of water running down the street on the storm grant.
Mm-hmm.
So because there's a break in the line. So does that go against the break in the line, or does it go against the water usage, or both?
I think both, because regardless of whether we're selling the water to the customer, we're still having to pay to pump it out of the well or buy it from Waco, whether it's getting charged to the customer or not. So, yes, I think is the answer to your question.
Yeah, that's the answers.
Is that, Mitch, does that track?
Yes, I was going to say, in the end, your questions, both of those are coming out of the same pot.
Right.
So, it's utility fund money, yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Any other questions?
I think we'll have more as we roll into the budget.
Sure. That's fair. I appreciate it.
This all tracks with what we're going to be talking about.
Yes, sir.
Here in just a minute. So.
Okay.
Thank you, Brenda.
Thank you.
And sorry for the technical.
Oh, no, it's okay. I would. How would y'all like us to proceed with Ms. our guest?
Very good. Thank you so much, Mr. Hernandez, for that report. Council, we're going to move on to number 8. Item for individual discussion is the discussion and possible action regarding the adoption of a new 5-year water and wastewater rate plan. Can I get a motion to discuss, please?
So moved.
Second. Seconded. Thank you. Thank you very much. Mr. Manager, you want to introduce our guest?
Thank you, Mayor Council. Yes, Mr. Dan Jackson returns to give us some more of his expertise. So I'll just briefly read this background information here to recap, which is at the May 11, 2026 City Council meeting, Willdan Financial Services presented the preliminary results of the water and wastewater rate study. Do. For an alternative scenario and declined to take action until those numbers could be reviewed. A detailed presentation reflecting the original and alternative scenarios is attached to the package.
Thank you. Thank you. I don't really have a prepared presentation tonight. There's no need to go through all the slides I went through last time. But I just do want to emphasize a couple of things. First of all, when it comes to comparing what people in the city of Woodway pay for water and sewer service with other neighboring cities, you all compare pretty favorably. I guess I'm causing it. Why don't we try going over there?
See if that will work. I think you're just getting
feedback. Okay, let's see if this works any better. One of the first questions people ask about water and sewer rates is, how does what we pay compare to what people in this part of the state of Texas pay for water and sewer service? And you actually compare pretty well. Is it not on? Maybe if I stand right here, it'll be on.
Because our streaming
okay.
can't hear.
Okay.
Right now.
Sure. Again, I want to emphasize that many people ask the question, how do our rates compare to neighboring communities? In other words, is what we pay for water and sewer service here in Woodway, is it disproportionate to what other people pay? The answer is emphatically no. As I showed in a chart in my last presentation, you compare very favorably. In fact, you're lower than most other cities here in Central Texas. Another important thing people have to understand is that water and sewer costs are going up. They're going up for everybody. The average utility is raising its rates 5 to 6% every year. That's because you try to run your water and sewer operation like a business. You want the revenues from your water and sewer rates to cover all the costs of providing water and sewer service. Right now, your revenues are under recovering a little bit. And so that is one of the catalysts that we had for recommending that you implement a new water and wastewater rate plan. Furthermore, you're looking at investing as much as $30 to $32 million in capital improvements to improve, repair, and maintain the quality of water and sewer service here. Obviously, when you borrow that much money, you have to have rates that will enable you to repay it. Most of the repairs are going to be on the wastewater side, so that's why the wastewater rate adjustments we're recommending are going to be higher than the water rate adjustments. So there's a lot of factors. I wish I could tell you that you didn't have to increase rates, but for the 100 cities in Texas that I work for, virtually everyone, in fact, I think every single one of them, I have recommended that they increase their rates just simply because they are facing the same kind of challenges that you are. So, as Adam indicated in the introduction, we have presented to you two particular rate plan alternatives, scenario one and scenario two. Under scenario one, we would recommend that you do 10% annual wastewater rate adjustments for each of the next 5 years, 2% water rate adjustments for the next 3 years, and 3% water rate adjustments for years four and five. Again, the higher wastewater rate adjustments are due to the fact that more investment is required in the wastewater system and the wastewater rates are under recovering a little bit. The second scenario, you still have the same 10% wastewater adjustments, but slightly higher water rate adjustments. The reason for that is that under scenario one, we are recommending that you draw down a little bit of your fund balance in order to support your water rates over the next couple of years. That's a very common thing utilities do when they have a fund balance. They use the fund balance to support the rates to try to minimize the impact of future adjustments on their ratepayers. In the second scenario, we don't do that nearly as much, and you end up with a healthier fund balance. So the only question is, do you want to adjust your rates by 1% more in the next 3 years in order to preserve more of your fund balance? That's really what the question comes down to. This chart right here compares the impact on your rates of each scenario. Most residential ratepayers use somewhere around 10,000 gallons a month of water and sewer service here in the city. Slightly higher than that, but 10,000 gallons is a good facsimile. Right now, if you use 10,000 gallons of water and 5,000 gallons of wastewater, you pay $113.76 a month. Under scenario one, that bill would go up by about $6 a month. Under scenario two, it would go up 50 cents more than that, go up for about $6.50 to $7 a month. And as you can see in each year, the difference between the two scenarios is somewhere between 50 and 75 cents a month per year. So that now becomes a question. Do you want to ask your ratepayers to contribute that much more just to preserve your fund balance? But the average impact on a ratepayer of this rate plan is going to be about $6 a month. That's because if the average ratepayer uses 10,000 gallons a month, that means about 70% of your residential bills are going to be 10,000 gallons or less. Do you have higher volume users? Well, of course you do. But they tend to be the exception rather than the rule. And so a $6.50 a month increase is the equivalent of about a 5 to 6% increase each year. So a 2% water and a 10% wastewater equals about a 5 to 6% increase on your average bill. And so the last couple of charts are just supporting schedules based on which scenario you would like, scenario one or scenario two. I know it's not an easy decision to make. It's never easy to ask ratepayers to pay more. But by adopting this rate plan, you will ensure that your fund stays healthy, and you will ensure that you will have the revenue to make the investments that will continue to provide a superior level of water and sewer service to your ratepayers. So, if you have any, so that concludes my unplanned for impromptu remarks.
Great job.
If you have any questions, please feel free.
Great job. Thank you, Dan, for that. We may call you back up, but we're just going to chat up here, and then we'll let you know if we have questions.
All right.
Thank you so much. All right, Council. Well, I guess our job this evening is to decide which of these scenarios we'd like to adopt for the next 5 years. And Brenda can also answer any questions related to the revenue collection that we'll make on either one. So
does the fund balance help with unexpected repairs and that sort of thing?
Yes, ma'am.
And right now, do you consider the fund balance healthy, unhealthy, a little in between?
How about the utility fund?
Yes, for the water fund that he's talking about, the fund balance that we're talking about.
This year and last year, we've been operating at a deficit.
And so that creates a problem if we need sudden repairs that ultimately are going to help our water rates in the long run, right?
Yes, sir.
And we'd have to issue at today's debt rates, which are floating around
6%. 5.5, 6%.
The picture comes to my mind of taking a Band-Aid off. You take it off a little bit at a time, or do you just rip it off and go with it? And to me, the 6% across the board, psychologically, yeah, they're going to complain in the beginning. I'll complain in the beginning, but
$6.
It's not raising it every year again and again and again, which psychologically has an impact.
So it sounds like you like scenario two.
That
keeps it, great.
And it will increase year over year, but just in a tiny bit more than it would have otherwise, right?
Well, it gets us out of the deficit spending faster.
No, right. But I mean, the difference between the two options, we're still increasing year over year. It's just the increases
incrementally instead of.
Well, for the water.
Instead of across the board.
For the water in scenario one, it starts out at 2%.
Right.
And then in year four or year three.
You're right. The fourth year.
The fourth year.
Yeah.
It goes up to 3%.
Right, exactly. So it is going to increase year over year. We're just making the increase tiny bit bigger.
Well, not.
I've got the beginning.
Yeah, like 50 cents a year. So we're not we're not talking about $6 and something. Right. We're talking about that difference realistically, which is
and if
50
that helps
cents
the
to 75 cents.
Well, I think I really believe that the common sense of this is that we don't have a fund balance to draw from. So,
yeah,
we need to. We just rip the Band-Aid off, but at the end of the day, we need to fund this. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's our choice. We either fund it or we continue to be in a deficit for another 2 years.
Yeah.
That makes no sense to me. You know, as opposed as we all would be to raising rates that we don't need to raise, that's not the situation we're in.
Right.
We're in a situation where we need to raise the rates to continue the kind of service and the kind of, you know, attitude towards taking care of our citizens, as albeit a tough decision. We need to do the right thing here.
So which scenario do you like, Mr. Whitby?
Two, please.
Okay. Two. All right.
I agree with two.
I'll entertain a motion on scenario two, please.
I make a motion that we accept scenario two.
Second.
Is that enough? Okay.
I'll second
that. Will that work, Ms. Wren? That's
yeah,
good.
He shook his head, yes.
All right. It's been moved and seconded. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, please say nay. Ayes have it, and scenario two of the rate scenario is adopted for the 5-year water and wastewater rate plan. Thank you, Council.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a good season.
Sick and Bears. That's right. You wore that on purpose today. I know you did. I know.
My daughter and my money went to bed.
Thank you so much. Scenario two that I think is what you were alluding to is that it keeps it consistent, the increase consistent, so we don't have to do another, you know, get people riled up again for
that's
the
exactly right.
So yeah. Common sense, ripping off Band-Aids, like it. All right, item number nine is discussion and consider action on acceptance of the 26 ad valorem tax values as certified by the McLennan Central Appraisal District Board of Directors and delivered to the City of Woodway on July 20th, 2026. Motion to discuss, please.
So moved.
Second.
Do I have a second? Thank you very much. All right, Mr. Manager, do you have anything on this?
Thank you, Mayor and Council. This item comes to the Council annually. State law requires that the annual ad valorem tax roll be certified to the governing body. Summary pages from the 2026 City of Woodway ad valorem tax roll were provided to City Council via email. Attached, please find the statement of certification received July 20th from Jim Halbert, Chief Appraiser, McLennan County Appraisal District. In addition, attached is a statement from the City Secretary confirming that the information being presented to you is a true and correct copy of the summary of certified values received. The annual internal audit was conducted by the City Secretary comparing the 2025 certified roll with the 2026 preliminary and certified rolls. All subdivisions and land surveys on the 2026 preliminary, as well as the number of tax roll entries in each, were compared to last year's certified tax roll. Then, upon receipt of the 2026 certified roll, it was compared in the same manner to the 2026 preliminary. All discrepancies discovered were researched and found to be justified. And that is all.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Manager.
Yes, sir.
Council, is there any discussion on the ad valorem tax rolls received by our office here?
Straightforward.
Yep.
Yep.
I
agree.
All right. I'll entertain a motion then to accept the ad valorem tax rolls as certified.
I move that we accept the ad valorem tax rolls as certified.
A second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Item number 10 is follow-up discussion on proposed annual budget and proposed ad valorem tax rate and consensus on proposed tax rate. Brenda, is this back to you? Mr. Manager, do you have anything on this, on number 10?
I can read all of that.
No. I mean, just item number 10. You don't have to read it. I just need to get any additional comments for us.
No, sir, I don't. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to attempt to do this presentation from here for everyone, for the sake of everyone's ears. So forgive me if I don't look at y'all when I'm talking. But
I think it's working now, isn't it? Do you like sitting there? Or are you good there?
I can sit here, yes, sir. Plus, I have all my calculator, spreadsheets, everything. Again.
You're so prepared.
Yes, sir. I try to be. So thank you, Mayor and Council. I have a few slides prepared for a proposed budget update. So at the last council meeting in July, I distributed a preliminary budget, which reflected the preliminary tax rolls we received back in April. I sent an updated budget on July 31st, and I posted it to the city's website after we received the certified appraised values that y'all just passed, and as well as the tax rate from McLennan County Tax Office. So tonight's presentation is an update on those numbers that have changed from the previous meeting, and then we'll review the certified values, tax rate options, historic tax rate and revenue, and then any known changes from the first and the second draft and potential changes to the third draft. So for the certified tax rolls, McLennan Central Appraisal District provided these towards the end of July, and comparing the preliminary rolls, we did see a decrease from the preliminary to the certified of about 3.48%, but we expected that, and we did talk about us expecting a decrease in those appraised values. But if you compare the certified 2026 rolls to prior year, it was a 1.45% increase, which was related to an increase of taxable value related to new values added to the tax roll and then appreciation from previously existing properties. But overall, the trend we saw about that 1.45%, I consider it flat compared to what the county saw as a whole. So the next slide shows all the municipal taxing jurisdictions and where they ended up in comparison to their previous certified rolls. I highlighted the ones that increased, but overall, a municipality increase was less than 1% at about 0.05, a half a percentage point of increase in appraised certified values. So it's about a $430 million increase when you compare this year to last year, but when you look at 24 to 25, that was about 1.1 billion. So it is slightly down comparing from year to year. Additionally, the average home value in Woodway dropped from $424,550 in 2025 to $408,000 in 2026. So I reached out to a few municipalities as well as looking at their website, and I only found two municipalities that were keeping the tax rate the same. That was the city of Waco and the city of West. Everyone else, municipality-wise, is increasing their tax rate that I could talk to. There was a few small cities that did not respond, like Leroy and Golson, but those are only a couple hundred people, so I'm not too concerned about comparing to them. But I'm sure if y'all saw on the Waco Trib, McLennan County is proposing a 6-cent increase or adopted a 6-cent increase.
Was in my article, but I believe that's correct. There you go.
Hot off the press here. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you can. Feel free.
This is relevant.
I'm Christopher De Los Santos, reporter from the Waco Tribune Herald. Normally, I'm just here covering the meeting, but since Finance Director Brenda has called me as a witness, I will confirm that McLennan County raised their tax rate by 6 cents. I didn't write that article. Mike Copeland wrote that article, but I did read it.
Oh, I'm not done yet. Midway decreased their tax rate, correct? Midway ISD?
Carl Hoover was.
Not my article.
I'm teasing.
That was Carl Hoover's article, and I didn't read it.
Oh, it's on the record now that you didn't read your friend's article. It's okay. Well, thank you, Mr. De Los Santos.
I'm proud of you, Brenda.
Just saw that.
I'm proud of you. Getting him up here, that's great.
Hey, we got to phone a friend every once in a while. My assistant finance director's back there, too. I'm sure I can call on her when I need anything. But anywho, historical property values. Here's just a trend the last 10 years. The green line is the appraised values. The red line is the actual net taxable. So the difference is are the exemptions. And exemptions prior to 2025 accounted to about 7 to 8% of the assessed value. But last year, that jumped to 10.59%. And then this year, it accounts for about 10.37%. So now that you know the certified values, and we've talked about historical property values, what I proposed at the preliminary budget, the first draft and the second draft, was the de minimis rate. And I'm not specifically addressing public comment, but to explain the de minimis rate.
I was going it to is the encourage that anyway, so if you want perfect. It to come from me.
That's great. The de minimis rate is the sum of the no new revenue rate plus 500,000. So in some cities, yes, that exceeds the voter approval rate. But in our city, where we have higher appraised values, that is not the case. The voter approval rate is like 40-something cents. It's definitely more. But in this instance, the 3.91668 is the de minimis rate, which would generate approximately $7.55 million in tax revenue. And what the budget proposal you have in front of you shows is that is allocated in three buckets. The first would be the general fund, about $7 million. The second would be the debt service, $345,000, to pay the principal and interest payments towards that 2021 series that was issued to build the new family center. And then one penny, or $195,000, would be allocated to street improvements. Last year, this was less than a penny, about 0.0072 cents. Prior to last year, that had been at 4.5 cents. But in order to balance the budget and adopt the no new revenue rate, we did drop that funding last year. This year, I put it a penny. But the allocation conversation, you know, can happen later. But just showing you where we are. So, you know, that's just the rate. How does this actually impact the everyday taxpayers? So at the average home value of $408,000, that would calculate, if you divide that by 100 and multiply by the tax rate, it would be $1,598 a year, or $133 a month for the city's portion of the property tax bill. That doesn't include the county, doesn't include MCC or Midway or Waco ISD. How that compares to last year, when our average home value was about $425,000, they were paying $1,545 a year, or $129 a month. So it's about a $4 increase. But with this tax rate, the city is able to fully fund employee raises, all departmental requests, replace public safety utility vehicles, a new fire truck, and set aside funds to invest in future Capitol Street improvements. And there's that calculation for you. And then next is just the historic tax rates, what had been previously adopted versus where we are today. So from 2018 to 2022, those 5 years, it was about 45 to 47 cents. And then come in 23, that's when council moved to add homestead exemptions for the elderly and the disabled. And then that's the first year we went to the no new revenue rate. And then we did the no new revenue rate 4 years in a row. And then this year, I'm recommending or proposing a de minimis rate. This next one will show the tax levy versus the general fund budget. It just shows you, hey, this is how much the tax levy has increased, and but these are the corresponding general fund increase. But as we discussed two slides previous, all that money does not go to the general fund. We split it into different buckets. And in 2025, in order to pass the no new revenue rate budget, that's when we cut the 1.5 cent long-term capital project allocation. And then last year, that's when we cut the 4.5 cents for future Capitol Street improvement. I just wanted to get everybody up to speed of where we were. And then changes from the first draft to the second draft. My assistant finance director was made aware of projected staffing promotions. All of the changes were mostly within PD. And then we had a formula that wasn't necessarily linking for potential retirements. We fixed that, so that's reflected in the spreadsheet. Health insurance premiums, so we anticipated a 7% increase. We met with our broker, and they're saying that's closer to 10%. But then we met with them again. They said, well, it might be 6.33%. So that might be a change in the next one. So we're still working through that. But this budget did reflect an increase related to health insurance premiums. And then capital outlay projects. From the first time I gave y'all a draft, I've been made aware of a few projects. And I'll probably defer to Mitch on a few of these. But sidewalk ADA compliance, about $110,000. The slope repair, I'm going to be honest, I just threw a number on there. We didn't know. We did get an update, like, last week, so we will reflect that in the third draft. The construction project, this is what y'all voted on at the last meeting for that old family center lot, so we went ahead and budgeted that amount with a little bit of a cushion if there's any engineering costs associated with it. And then water meter replacement phase, based on our conversations of if we want to implement smart meters, I met with the community service director. We've discussed, well, if we implement the smart meters in phases, where it won't cost the city as much up front, and we won't have to implement the infrastructure until the future. If we replace half the meters now and half the meters next year, and that's when we actually add the equipment, it would not be as impactful to the taxpayers and the customers. But that's also one of our conversations we can have in a potential change in the final draft. So y'all just voted on this, so I know the answer now. I will update the water and wastewater increase to reflect that in the next budget. There was conversations about possibly changing this to a groundskeeper depending on the need, which would actually save them some money. But after talking to the assistant city manager this morning, there won't be any changes as far as in the second draft, or the third draft, excuse me. The slope repair cost estimate, we do have that number now, so I will update that. Mention the smart meters, and then any other council-directed changes. The city secretary has to post the next meeting by next Tuesday, so my items are due to her by Thursday, so this third draft will come out. We'll hit y'all's inboxes this week, because it's a pretty quick turnaround. But that is all I have prepared. Ms. Redden, this is where we talk about it.
Are any of those items, those draft version items, going to affect the de minimis rate in the third budget?
No, because that's the utility fund, that's the Arboretum fund, and these are construction funds.
Okay.
So the first four items won't. Depends on that last other council-directed changes. Oh, yeah. No, different funds. That's the fun thing about fund accounting. There's like 30 buckets I get to work with. That's why when Councilwoman Wallace asked me about fund balance, I was like, which fund are we talking about? Because it may vary by the question. But that's all I have prepared as far as an update. But y'all have had the budget. If y'all have any, I know I've met with Councilman Kriegel. I've exchanged emails with the mayor. But if y'all have any other questions, now's the time.
I think the only thing to break the ice here in the conversation is to talk a little bit about the general fund transfer that the budget calls for making at the end to help with the pavilion balance.
Oh, yes, sir.
Do you mind?
Sure. I don't have a slide prepared for that, but if y'all look at the budget that I sent y'all, and there is a page at the beginning where it shows all the different funds in the fund balance. All of them are positive except one. And that's the Carlene Bright Pavilion and Arboretum. And this is, for some history, that used to be part of the general fund. And then back in, have the exact year, back in fiscal year 2024, they carved it out. That was a direction that was given to council for it to operate it as its own. And then since then, because there have been decreases in eventual revenue and tourism, it had been operating at a deficit. Prior to that date, you wouldn't have noticed that deficit because the general fund has so much money and it would have washed. but because it's separate now, it's more of an eyesore. So it's my recommendation, and after talking to TML, and I know the rules, you can't adopt an unbalanced budget. So that formula is fund balance plus projected revenues has to equal expenditures. Right now, it's unbalanced unless we transfer money from the general fund to true it up. And then, based on the changes that they've made at the departmental level, I don't think it's going to be an issue going forward because we have seen increases in revenues and we have been making efforts to cut costs. But I do think in order to alleviate some of the pressure that that department feels, we need to go ahead and true them up so they can just be even. Excuse me. Even. Does that answer your question, Mayor?
It does. I like the effect of the
Sorry, lots of
the reason I bring that up, Brenda, is because like we were talking about, we've got this really healthy general fund, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's at 33% of our total budget, and it only has to be at 25%, you know, per policy. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty healthy. But what I didn't know is that over the past, I guess, 5-6 years, it's been steadily decreasing. And I want us to be aware of that because we did that a little bit to ourselves when we adopted the new revenue rate for the past 3 years. It caused us to have to dip into this fund. And the only thing that I don't like about this budget is I don't want us to go too far into our general fund, if that makes sense. We're still good. I mean, we're still, like, healthy, but the less we can have to dip into the general fund, the better. And I know that the pavilion folks are working on a plan to cover that deficit, but I just want us to know, Brenda was kind enough to send me some numbers, and in 2021, we were at 39%, and of the last audit, and the audit in September of 25, we were at 31%. So it's steadily burning up. So I say that just to make us all mindful that we really have to.
So what do we do to
make sure
stem that tide?
Well, I think a couple of things we can do. First of all, we're going to be increasing our water rates to help with that deficit in the utility fund. We're going to move some money over from the general fund to cover the pavilion this year in this budget. They're gonna get better. I mean, they're gonna fix their deficit, but I just don't think a new revenue tax rate is in the question for this year. Okay. It's not enough money coming in, you know.
Yeah, well, I said that last year.
I know. So I just think it's prudent for us to know the history of that fund just slowly decreasing.
Right.
And there's no alarm bells sounding or anything like that, but sometimes we get people saying, well, the general fund is very healthy. Just use that to keep our taxes lower. The general fund is going away. You know, it's slowly eroding.
Well, so, I know I kind of made this point earlier on the water side, but when you look at debt cost increase, you know, for a while there, we were at almost 0% interest on a lot of things.
It was very cheap.
Yeah, it's a different world now. So if we're going to have less money in a fund, we're more likely to have to issue debt for anything that goes wrong or that's new. Mm-hmm. And the more debt we issue, the higher our bills go up, and therefore the higher our taxes go up later because we're having to pay that 6% or 5.5% or whatever it is interest rate we get.
Yeah.
That's the part that scares me, is that we end up shooting ourselves in the foot because sewage pipe needs to get replaced. Something like that comes up that we're not expecting.
I mean, that's exactly right. That's why having a really healthy fund like that allows us to sleep well at night, knowing that if something comes up, a well goes down or whatnot.
And you said, I believe, that we're required to keep a 25%.
Yes.
And so we're only at 8% over that 25%.
That's
so
correct.
That's
yeah.
the number we need to yeah. be thinking about.
Yeah.
33 sounds like more than it really is.
You said it better than I said it.
Yeah.
It sounds nice, but over the past 5 years, it's gone down 8%. I mean, a lot.
Yeah. Well, it'll be nice when we get that water project finished.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's part of the leak right there.
No pun intended.
No pun intended.
Very true.
One thing I wanted to speak to that I'm grateful for, Brenda, is that, and you touched on this last meeting about including the mission in this budget so that as we're reading, we can continually point back to that and make sure that what we are doing reflects our mission, which says, as a high-quality community of quiet neighborhoods and unique natural beauty, the city of Woodway is committed to being a leader among cities in delivering outstanding quality services mm-hmm. to all of its citizens through innovative and efficient use of resources. And as I poured over this new version, well, I mean, both versions, but I felt very confident that that is the budget reflects this mission, and I appreciate that.
That's awesome. Thank you. Took a team.
Other comments, other questions about this?
So we all feel like the tax rate is high enough with the de minimis rate?
With us going to the scenario two on the water rate, Brenda, and I don't want you to crunch numbers now because that's way too much pressure, but is the de minimis rate going to be enough with that water rate adjustment?
Yes, sir. That's two different funds. So that's the water, sewer. So the tax rate has nothing to do with that fund.
No, I get it. But I guess I'm talking about the deficit. The deficit.
It varies on the water. So I it's going to help. Okay. But with, like, we had a wetter year. So it just all depends on the weather, to be honest. But yes, it is going to help because we did not increase rates this last year, but we are going forward increasing the next 5 years. But if you look back in the last 5 years, we did not increase every year. So yes, it will help the deficit. And as Mr. Jackson said, the costs are ever rising in that field.
I think it makes sense to stick with the de minimis because we're going up on these rates also. So it's just kind of a nice middle ground.
That works for me. As long as the answer to my question is yes, I'm good.
The minimum is enough.
Yes, currently, yes.
I think so. I mean, I honestly think so.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess I just need to find a little consensus here, which is always a funny word. Every time we get to this every year, I always chuckle, but are we all in somewhat of a consensus on the 39-cent tax rate?
Yes.
We all feel?
Yes. I'm feeling
good.
Yeah.
I think we have consensus.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor and Council.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Brenda. Thank you, Council, for that. We'll move on to do some logistics on when we vote on this. So item 11 is discussion and consider action on a proposal to place an action item on a future meeting agenda for the purpose of adopting a 2026 ad valorem tax rate. Motion to discuss, please.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Mr. Manager, anything on number 11?
I believe I have to read this piece. Right?
Yes, sir, and then we take a record vote.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Okay.
So here it goes. The McLennan County Tax Office has provided the following information with regard to the 2025 no new revenue and voter approval tax rates for the city of Woodway. No new revenue tax rate is 0.361104 of a $100 property value. The de minimis tax rate is 0.391668 of $100 valuation. Voter approval tax rate is 0.434946 of a $100 property value. Important note, by voting in favor of this proposal, you are not specifying support for or against the proposed tax rate. You are only voting to place an item on a future agenda for discussion and action on the specified rate. That's all.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Manager. Council, a record vote will require you to say individually aye or nay on this item. Keisha, do you mind doing the honors?
Not at all. Councilman Whitby.
Aye.
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 All right, thank you. The vote passes unanimously for we have to decide on the meeting time on this, don't we?
Is that on
12? On future agenda. Okay, okay, that's right. Okay, we're just saying yes. Great. Unanimous aye on the action item for putting this on a future meeting agenda. Item number 12 is discussion and consider action on setting the date, time, and place for the required public hearing on the proposed 2026 ad valorem tax rate. Motion to discuss, please.
So
second.
Second. Second. Yeah. Thank you. Mr. Manager, I see the staff recommendation on here for Monday, August 24th at 5:30.
Yes.
Okay, any discussion?
Pretty straightforward.
That's the next one, right?
That's our next meeting. Okay. So.
2 weeks.
Very good. All right. Well, Council, if there's no further discussion, I move that we set the date, time, and place for the required public hearing on the proposed 2026 ad valorem tax rate as Monday, August 24th at 5:30 p.m. at Woodway City Hall.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. Ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Council. Okay, it'll be on the next one. Very good. Excellent. Brenda, thank you so much for the good work on this. Appreciate it. Thank you so much to your team.
To your team. Mrs. Davis.
Really appreciate it. Yeah. And, thanks for answering all our questions. I know I personally hit you with a lot of questions and you answered them very, very quickly. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, consent agenda are items 13, 14, and that's it. Anybody want to pull anything off the consent agenda that you have in front of you?
I do not.
Nobody? All right. We'll move to item 15, discussion and consider action on the consent agenda. Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda as stated?
I make a motion that we approve the consent agenda as it stands.
Second.
All right.
I keep trying. No, I know you got it. It's
Councilwoman Wallace has got it. Very good. Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say nay. Ayes have it, and the consent agenda is approved as written. Okay, item 16, City Manager's Report.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. We've certainly seen a lot of things going on in and outside of the meeting. We've got several wheels turning on several different projects, but there isn't anything really nailed down enough to bring something to you tonight, but I will have a report to you at some point this week on several items. I just need to sit still long enough for the rest of it to catch up to me.
We appreciate it, Mr. Manager. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, item 17, our City Council reports. Who wants to go first?
There will be a PNC meeting tomorrow night discussing the final plat of Florence Moore addition and also the vacating of the final plat of Tanglewood Estates Phase 2 due to a filing error.
Filing error?
Oh. Filing error.
Fascinating. On the applicant side?
Pardon me?
On the applicant side? Do you know
who I actually don't know.
Okay. Just curious. All right. Anybody else?
Not for me. Youth Commission met Thursday with, well, they weren't all there, but we're working on that. And looking at a number of projects that they'll be involved in, well, events they'll be involved in coming up this year, so. group, and we're looking forward to adding more as the year goes on.
Excellent. Thank you, Mr. Suri. Thank you, Janelle. Council, I did provide the mayoral appointments to Ms. Redden. She's going to be sending those out here pretty soon, the appointments. So just know that they're coming. But
the filing error is on our side.
Oh, it's on our side. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. I was just curious more than anything. It's very rare. All right. Very good. If nobody else has any updates or questions or anything for the council, I'll move on to number 18. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I so moved.
I'll second that. I'll second her. She got one in.
Yay!
Wonderful. We are adjourned at 6:43 p.m. Everybody have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Thank you.